Hello and welcome to another sensational episode of Tea Talkers, everybody. Live at 5:30 on 101.5 UMFM. It's your usual guy, Tiago, along with...
The unusual guy, Simon. I almost forgot my
almost. I almost forgot too, but I managed to sneak it in there right away.
Nice.
Yes, so it is just the two of us today. Unfortunately, we are without Farron.
Gruesome twosome,
indeed. But we do have Farron and Matt in spirit. And tonight we're going to be doing a Comic-Con roundup of all the festivities that happened this weekend at the San Diego Comic-Con, not the Manitoba Comic-Con or Winnipeg Comic-Con. That doesn't happen until October. So yes, the San Diego Comic-Con is one of the biggest Comic-Con events, and it happens every year in July, usually middle of July. And a lot of big companies like Warner Brothers and Marvel and even gaming companies, they all showcase what new games or new content, movie trailers, a whole bunch of crazy stuff. It's basically a all around a fun time. I'd love to go someday. I remember that our former co-host Braden went to Comic-Con in San Diego once.
He did.
He said it was phenomenal, and he said you really have to go sometime. So I said, you know, I definitely have to go. I've been to New York. I'd love to go to New York again. There are a few other places I'd like to go to, but San Diego Comic-Con is definitely one of them. But before we continue this discussion on the San Diego Comic-Con, we have our weekly news segment, Today in Television History. Thank you, Simon. So today is Monday, July 23rd, 2018, and there are four events that occurred today in this day in television history. On July 23rd, 1950, The Gene Autry Show premiered on CBS TV. On July 23, 1962, the Telstar communications satellite sent the first live TV broadcast to Europe. So if I'm guessing correctly, that's probably satellite. I'm stupid. That's when satellite TV came to Europe. Wow. Okay. So Europe's had satellite TV for over 50 years.
Good for them.
Yeah. I never would have guessed. But
It's tough. Like when you go back more than, I would say more than like the 1980s, it's tough. Maybe I'm just dating myself, but it's, you don't know what technologies were around when. Like, it's just a jumble.
That's true.
It's just back then.
That's true. And not only that, but for Europe, they could have received it then, and then maybe Canada might have gotten it later or whatnot, because I don't know anything about when Canada got satellite TV, but that's another episode. On July 23rd, 1996, WRAL-TV transmitted the first digital signal. I don't know where that TV channel is from, but it just says here WARL-TV transmitted the first digital signal.
There you go.
And last but not least, this is a pretty interesting one. On July 23rd, 2007, 11 years ago, Drew Carey announced that he was the replacement for Bob Barker on The Price is Right. The announcement was made in an interview on Late Show with David Letterman. Your favorite.
Yeah.
Wow. 11 years ago, Drew Carey
Bob Barker's still going.
Yeah, he's still alive. 94
years old.
Soon to be 95. Sometime December.
December 12th.
I was just going to say December 12th. Almost had it there.
It's amazing that you knew that.
Actually, I looked it up one time when I was a kid.
That moment coming up actually pretty vividly, the Drew Carey thing.
Yeah.
Bob Barker seemed irreplaceable.
He was.
Right. He was The Price is Right.
He really was. He retired at 83. Could you imagine that? Holy moly.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Was it 83? Yeah, 83.
11 years ago.
Yeah, 11 years ago. Yeah, that's right. Wow. Sensational.
I almost, I wouldn't have blamed them if they were like, yeah, we're canceling the show. It was Bob's show.
Yeah, very true, right? But, yeah. You know, Drew has held his ground pretty well. Like, I've seen a few episodes, you know, here and there throughout the past 11 years, and I'm like, wow, Drew's actually doing a pretty good job. Like, he's not trying to copy Bob or trying to be like, oh, I'm taking over. It's like, no, I'll just try and do my own persona, and it's working.
Yeah.
Delightful, cheerful, He's
come
that.
Along. Drew Carey's come a long way from those Whose Lines Anyway days. Not that I don't love Whose Lines Anyway.
But you do.
I absolutely
you do
adore
love,
it.
Yeah.
But I think he's sort of evolved well as a comedian.
Absolutely. No, I definitely agree there.
Yeah.
A bit more TV news before we jump into this kind of fits in with the Comic-Con. We didn't announce it last week, but Better Call Saul Season 4 premieres August 6th on AMC. So for all you Better Call Saul / Breaking Bad fans, or just fans in general or TV fans, the fourth season will premiere on August 6th, and apparently it goes until October 8th, if I'm not mistaken. So it's not starting. The first two seasons aired in February, and then the third season was April. So now they're moving it to August. But alas, we will see what happens in this upcoming season of Better Call Saul. And another one of my favorite TV shows, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Its 13th season will premiere on September 5th. And I'm pretty sure it'll conclude sometime in November, if my timing is correct. The last season of Always Sunny aired January 2017 and ended March 2017. And they were going on a bit of a hiatus. They were supposed to start, if they had continued their trend that they had been doing for the last 3 years, they should have started this January, but they pushed it back because of scheduling from Rob, Glenn, Charlie, and Caitlin, and even Danny DeVito. They all had busy schedules. So yeah, they still managed to shoot season 13 in April of this year. And thankfully, it is going to be released September. So hopefully that will bode well for season 14 airing in September 2019. But we can only hope, and we'll see what happens. Stranger Things season 3 production started in April as well. There will only be 8 episodes. I think that was the same amount of episodes they had in season 2, correct?
So. Yeah.
And the Duffer brothers announced that the show will end after season 4 or 5. So we may not be getting a lot of Stranger Things.
That's good.
Soon.
Don't
overkill.
Overstay your welcome.
I would think 4 seasons would be good. 5, I mean, if they have a really good storyline, then go for 5. But if you have a tight story and you can't find anything else to go past season 4, then just cap it off at 4.
Yeah, season 2 had 9 episodes.
It did?
Yeah.
Okay, season 1 had 8 episodes then, right?
Let's check. Yeah, 8.
Okay, yeah. Because I knew one season had 9 and the other had 8. So, and apparently this season, season 3 will be set, because it's 1983 to 1984. I think they said season 3 will jump ahead a little bit, so I'm going to guess maybe 1986.
It's hard to hide the ages of the characters, maybe.
Yeah, because they're getting older. They're not looking younger like they did.
Rough.
So also some other Comic-Con news, now that we're jumping into our discussion. The creator of Archer, Adam Reed, announced that season 10, so the last 3 seasons have had titles, so it was Archer... what was the first season 8 was what Archer?
I'll look it up for you.
Yeah, he was Dreamland. Archer Dreamland. Am I right?
I was looking it up on Netflix. So I don't know.
And then season 9 is Archer Danger Island, and season 10 will be called Archer 1999. And Adam Reed said that he's still planning to end Archer after season 10, but no deals have been finalized yet. But if I'm going to make a prediction, I'm going to say that they're going to cancel, or they're going to end Archer after season 10, because some people have been saying the last 3 seasons haven't been that great. Mm-hmm. I still enjoy the show. It's not as strong as it was in seasons like 3 to 6.
Yeah.
But it's still enjoyable to watch. It's better than other programs out there on TV for sure.
I think that's the problem. People judge. It's how do you judge it? Do you judge it against what it used to be, or do you judge it against the average television show?
That's true.
That's the case with Archer. It's the case with like even kind of Arrested Development.
Yeah, I was just gonna say Arrested Development.
Or
yeah,
Game of Thrones, I think, is the other big one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you haven't watched a lot of Game of Thrones, but pretty much everyone, like, even though I'm always diehard
I've heard
Game
from
Thrones
it, yeah,
fans, would tell you that the later seasons haven't been as good as the first ones.
That's what I've heard.
But still, your average Game of Thrones episode is still significantly better
mm-hmm.
than your average Game of Thrones knockoff episode.
True. Also, some other Comic-Con bit news. Batman the Animated Series, which was the intro we used for today's show, last year it was announced that it would be getting a Blu-ray release, and now we have some news for you folks out there. The Batman Animated Series complete series, so it's seasons 1, 2, and 3, and including the new Batman Adventures, which was 1997 to 1999, where the animation was different than the previous seasons. Technically, it's a different show called The New Batman Adventures, but they're still putting them all together. All 109 episodes, including the animated films Mask of the Phantasm and Sub-Zero, will be included in this limited deluxe edition Blu-ray set. You can order it on Amazon.com or WarnerBrothersShop.com, WBShop.com. Unfortunately, if you go on WBShop.com, it is not shipped to Canada. It only ships to the U.S. So if you're looking... if you live in Canada, if you're here in Winnipeg and you're looking to order the limited edition, deluxe edition Blu-ray series of Batman the Animated Series, you have to go to Amazon.com. It does ship to Canada. I already placed an order, or I pre-ordered the set, and I'm really excited. It's $112 American, But if you do want this set, you're going to have to go to Amazon.com because Warner Brothers Shop will not ship it to Canada. It's only Amazon. Mm-hmm. And like I said, there is a limited amount of copies. I think I read today that only 20,000 or 30,000 copies were made. So pre-order yours now. Already 2,000 copies have been pre-ordered, mine included. So,
do you know if there's any special features on there?
Yes, there are tons of special features. I don't remember all of them off the top of my head, but I can post that on our Facebook page, TV Talkers UMFM. Give us a like. There are tons. It also comes with an art book, 7 pictures, like these really nice framed pictures, 3 Funko Pops of Batman, Joker, and Harley Quinn. And what else does it come with? The art book, special features. 10 Blu-ray discs, including the 2 movies, so 12 Blu-ray discs. And they actually divided the show into seasons now, because when it was first released onto DVD, it was put into volumes, volume 1, 2, 3, and 4. And so what people are probably wondering, what's the difference between a volume and a season? A volume is just a random selection, or a random collection of episodes put together in a DVD box set. They're not in chronological order, they're not in episode air dates, or they're not in proper episode order. They're just a bunch of episodes put together in a set. But if you're looking at season 1, it's okay. Episode 1, episode 2, the way that they were aired properly, or production date or whatnot. So those are the bits that I wanted to share. But now, well, Simon.
Go ahead. Just to jump on that. Like, I think if I was the Batman and Animated people, and in fact, if I was basically anyone who's making a DVD to buy, I would be doubling down on special features, because that's the thing that Netflix will never have.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix will only just have the movies.
Yeah.
And that's if you pirate something, not that we endorse that, but if you do pirate something, that's the thing that you won't get. You won't get the special features.
True.
And to be honest, that's why I still buy so many movies. Like Prime Day was this past.
Yeah, July 17th.
Yeah, so.
The same day RoboCop was released.
Yeah. So almost a week ago was Prime Day. And I remember we got a few movies, including Thor Ragnarok, specifically for the commentary. Like, I basically paid $40 to listen to Taika Waititi do his commentary, because he's that good.
Yeah. No, he is. He is.
So if I was all these companies, especially if you're re-releasing something old, dig up whatever footage of the behind the scenes you can, because especially with the, like, I think YouTube has proven how people like, definitely me, maybe you too, will go on there and just watch hours and hours of creators talking about their products. If you love the product, you want to hear more about it.
There are,
especially with something as renowned as the old animated series is.
Of course. And there are tons of special features, like I said. I just don't remember all of them off the top of my head. There are a lot of commentaries on various episodes. I think there are, if I'm not mistaken, there's commentary on 20 episodes.
Nice.
Which is incredible. It's the producers and the writers and the creators. And even I think Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill do some commentary too. So It's fantastic. But what else was I going to say? Yeah, no, I would definitely recommend it to any Batman fan or anyone who loves the animated series. Like I said, I already pre-ordered a copy because I'm super excited. I remember, I think it was almost 10 years ago, they released the animated series on in a big DVD box set, and I missed out on that copy. But I'm glad I'm not upset that I missed out now, because they're releasing this on Blu-ray. So they're in high definition, all episodes put together. It's going to be sensational. And what else was I going to say? In terms of releasing,
I have a couple of extra bits of news. So
sure.
Two things. One of our favorite creators, Kevin Smith.
Yes.
We went and saw him when he came and talked.
That's right.
He had a show called Comic Book Men,
mm-hmm.
which honestly I'd never even watched. I wasn't even necessarily aware that it existed.
Yeah.
I guess it came on after The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I never watched The Walking Dead. Sorry to all you Walking Dead fans. By the way, talking about shows that have gotten worse as they've gone on, that's what I've heard about The Walking Dead too.
True.
Comic Book Man, it sounds like he would have been doing that for quite a while, since 2012.
7 seasons.
Yeah, that's not bad. And obviously he's got a huge YouTube presence, so that's where you can kind of still get your Kevin Smith fix. But mm-hmm. Comic Book Man was canceled by AMC.
Unfortunately.
Apparently he's trying to find a new network for it. But he's got a new show called Hollyweed.
Yeah, that's right. I heard about that.
Yeah, and I just looked it up. There's an episode that's even on YouTube right now. You can watch the first episode of Hollyweed by Kevin Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched it. I'm kind of interested to see. They're trying to get the full season greenlit. Like, they're still kind of pitching it around, it sounds mm-hmm. like, but he still wants to make this. And the pitch that I heard was they're going to have the Clerks-style humor, but in a weed store.
Mm.
Now that weed is legal in at least California, where he lives.
That's right.
And it'll be pretty pretty comparable to us when weed is legal in Canada.
October 17th, yeah. I heard, yeah.
Now, neither you or I, of course not right now because it's illegal, naturally. Yes. Wink, wink, wink. But I'm not going to be starting when it's legal.
No.
I don't know about you. But
no, not really.
I think this will be a pretty interesting thing for young people.
Mm-hmm.
That I sounded so old saying that. Young people, the youth.
These young kids.
But I think this show could have a market.
I think so, too. I love Kevin Smith's passion. He just... Some people, you know, they slam him for being like, oh, he's got crazy ideas or whatnot. But, you know, the guy's a writer. What's he supposed to do? You know, he comes up with ideas and he sticks to his guns. And he's really nice, down-to-earth guy. I mean, it's too bad we couldn't see them after the show. But the fact that, we can't really say, but the fact that that was a special show that they did when they came here again, because we went the first time in 2011, but that was pre-TV Talker days. And now they came this year, 7 years later, and I think the second time was a little bit better, like the show content.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been great to have met them after the show, but you can just really tell that Kevin Smith just like loves what he does, and he just loves to be around people, and just he wants to share and make these stories that just overall everybody enjoys, you know.
Well, early on he was just doing, by the way, welcome to the Kevin Smith History Hour.
Yeah.
But early on I have a couple of his specials, and they weren't like comedy specials, although he did release one after which he almost died.
That's right.
But he just had a couple of specials where he just went to a university, someone booked him, and then he took questions on his Hollywood experience, and that's kind of how he got started talking. And I think when he came 7 years ago, he was still pretty new with this whole people are going to pay me just to talk thing, and now he's on podcasts, he's got YouTube, you know, this is probably mostly what he does. And so it felt a little bit more polished, a little more directed. Plus at the same time he was doing it during a hockey game, which was hilarious because he was literally watching the hockey game with us.
That's right. Yeah,
that was particularly entertaining.
That was fantastic.
But I hope this new show, I mean, slightly controversial opinion, I think people who are very, very, I know a lot of people who do weed normally, and they're normal about it. There are some people who are very, very, very into weed, and I find them to be pretty obnoxious, you know? People are like, this thing will cure everything. Like, if you just smoke a joint, your cancer will be gone, will be brighter.
But it's the same thing with that. There's a lot of people like that out there for various different things.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you are, but you can be particularly obnoxious. But particularly, like, once it becomes legal, I'm wondering if we're not going to get a flood of that. And so it'd be nice if it's not that it's necessarily going to bother me, but, for example, our parents, who are just a little more disconnected. If, like, my dad loves Kevin Smith. So if my dad can be confused by this whole new legal weed thing, but then watch Kevin Smith and be like, okay, I can get it.
Yeah.
That might actually be, it might actually serve a purpose that they might not even intend.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be interesting to see what happens with this, and especially up here in the Great White North. But, you know, it's going to be interesting, especially with this show coming about, because we know that Kevin Smith is an advocate for smoking marijuana and whatnot. But, I don't know. I just like what he always, his ideas.
I wish I could live in his brain.
Yeah.
His reviews, and then he just enjoys every move that he watches.
Yeah,
and
he really does.
I wish I could be you.
I wish I could just like work for him someday and just like, I don't know, be his personal secretary.
Hey, Kevin.
Hire us. Well, if he could give us a show and pay us to do a show for him, like a podcast show 100%. Like this. Oh, sure. Let's go live Vegas.
I would move away. I would move to wherever he wanted me to move to work for Kevin Smith.
It would be fantastic. Like, he really inspired me. Like, when he did Comic Book Ben, he says, you know, I'm Kevin Smith along with you know, Brian and Ming and the other guys. When he does the hand thing, like where he's getting them to introduce themselves, I got that from him. Like, that
that's
inspired
your,
me,
yeah,
you know?
You.
So, like, when I say it's Tiago along with, people don't see me, but I point at you guys when you guys introduce yourselves. And just the way he kind of moderates the podcast and he holds everything together, like, he plays a pretty big inspiration for me. That's what I was about to say.
He's like, he jokes around that he's just a Clerks guy, but he's way more talented than just the Clerks guy.
That's so true. I wish I had got the Kevin Smith pop, but maybe someday I'll grab my hands on it.
Someday.
For the last 4 minutes, do you want to talk about some of the trailers, the big trailers that were released?
Well, yeah, we have the trailer thing, and I don't know if you want to touch on the James Gunn thing at all, or if you have the time at the end.
That's kind of a mess. Maybe we could just skim or give our thoughts about James Gunn towards the end, like sentence.
Sure. So did you see both the trailers for
Aquaman and Shazam? Betcha. I did. What are your thoughts?
I like Shazam a lot. Now, Shazam, they called it like a teaser trailer, so I was expecting a shorter teaser trailer.
But it was pretty long.
It was pretty long and significant. Like, it seemed like it was the first little bit of the movie, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So you see Billy Batson. He's been, you know, they have him. He's in foster care. He's an orphan. You know, he's got a kind of a rough life. Runs into the wizard. The wizard makes him say his name. But I thought what they did, first of all, the DCEU and DC in general needs something lighthearted.
Yeah.
So desperately.
Yeah.
What they did was very clever. All the scenes where it was like, what powers do you have? I don't know. They don't know. So with all that kind of stuff, that cracked me up.
Yeah.
And then particularly the shot that they had at the end where the kid is walking through the carnival, says
Billy
Shazam.
Batson, yeah.
And then he turns into
Shazam.
Shazam. That shot was, that's quintessential. Shazam is honestly probably next to maybe Batman. But I guess Batman's overdone. So if we take Batman, Superman out, Shazam's my favorite DCEU character.
Really?
Or DC character, period. I love him so much. I think he's just, the dichotomy is outstanding. I haven't read a lot of comics, but the comics I have read him, I love it.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really excited for that movie. And nice. Aquaman looked good, but I've been tempted before. I've been fooled before.
Right, right. So of the two trailers, which movie is enticing you more?
Shazam by a lot. Like, okay. Aquaman, I think Aquaman was a prequel, right? It wouldn't make sense for it not to be a prequel.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But like, the DC people, they always know how to make good trailers.
Oh, yeah.
But at some point, you're going to have to earn that. And I even like Justice League.
Yeah.
At some point, you're going to have to earn a little more faith back, and it looked a little too similar to what we've previously seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they need a tone shift. I saw a tone shift in Shazam. I'm not sure that I saw that in Aquaman, but I'm excited to find out. What do you think?
I really like the Aquaman trailer. I'm really intrigued with it. I can't wait to see how Patrick Wilson does as Orm, or what's his name? Orm. No.
I think you had him.
Yeah, Orm. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm also excited to see Black Manta as well.
That looked fantastic.
Yeah. So I think Orm is going to be like the primary villain, and then Black Manta will be like locked away. I would love to see a post-credit scene with Lex Luthor and Deathstroke breaking Black Manta out of prison, if he goes to prison, and saying, how about you join our league, the Legion of Doom?
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, here we go. Justice League 2, Legion of Doom. I really like Shazam. That one, I didn't know what to expect. I saw it and I'm like, yeah, December, Aquaman, April, Shazam. Holy crow. Like, we got 3 months in between those movies. It's going to be a great time.
And and honestly, like, Mark Strong is a villain in this one.
He's Dr. Savannah.
Yeah. And so they're going to save The Rock as Black Adam for a later thing with Shazam.
Black Adam is going to have his own movie, which I think makes sense because there's so much history with Black Adam.
He's a deep character. But it looked like the villain isn't going to play a huge role in Shazam, which honestly, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. As long as we, like, develop Shazam, and apparently Peter Safran, the producer, said that they already have sequels lined up, so it's like, ooh, Black Adam, Superman, Shazam, all together in one movie.
I would love to
see that. If they pace it out correctly and have them all together, like, later on down the line, that would be incredible.
What did you think of, like, we know, I think we both like Jason Momoa as Aquaman.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of, what's his name,
Zach Levi as Shazam?
As Shazam.
I think it's great.
He played off being a giant kid very well.
He did.
The comparable is big with Tom Hanks, right?
Yeah, because when I first heard about the casting choice, I was like, oh, okay, I can kind of see it. Then when I saw the trailer, I was like, all right, I can get behind this. It was kind of like Ben Affleck with me. Like, Ben Affleck as Batman, I was like, no. Then I saw the trailer, and I'm like, scratch that.
Yeah.
Forget it. He's great. So, yeah, no, but of the two, I'd say it's a tie. I'm really excited for both, but if I really had to pick one, I'd say Shazam has the edge, just because, like, it's something different.
It's different.
It's different.
We need
haven't seen it. Yeah. And if that can change this, if that does really well, I think Birds of Prey is going to be, like, also different because they're planning to make it R. So if they, like, if they start making different DC movies and kind of break the mold that they started off with,
I think we're in for a good time. Final thought then on Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker in the new Joker standalone?
I am excited for it. We're going to get 3 DC movies next year. We're getting Shazam, Joker, and Wonder Woman 1984. Looking forward to it.
So they cast Joker this year, and the movie's going to be out next year?
Yes. Yeah. It's going to be a small budget film, so we'll
see.
That's
what I've heard. I'm nervous, cautiously excited. Because just like with Venom, I'm not sure how well the Joker works out Batman.
Mm-hmm. I think Joker is popular enough to have his own film, but we'll see where the storyline goes. However, Robert De Niro is in talks to join the film, and so is the girl from Deadpool 2, Zazie,
I think.
Zazie Beetz, I think. I'm sorry, I'm butchering the name, but she's also in talks to join the movie as well. I think it should be good.
But it's like with Jack Sparrow, he's not a lead character. So they made that mistake. I hope they don't make that mistake with the Joker.
That's true. Well, it's Todd Phillips, so we'll see how it goes.
We'll see.
I'm excited. I mean, like, any DC movie, as long as they try and, like, do something new.
Don't copy Marvel.
Trust in the directors. Yeah, be new. Trust the directors. don't make any last minute scratches.
And it's ironic that Kevin Smith agreed with us, but I think I'm in favor of keep doing these individual movies.
Yes, I think so too. Yeah. I want to see more DC movies like Flash, Green Lantern. I just want more DC movies, you know, because
You don't necessarily make them connected, because that's where they seem to fall down.
Yeah.
Make good movies first.
Make good movies and then start connecting them, and then Justice League 2 hopefully will be way better than the first one.
Because Joe Manganiello?
Joe Manganiello.
So perfect as Deathstroke.
Oh, look
fantastic. He walked out of the page.
Yeah, that was just comic book. He walked out of the comic book, like you said, right there.
Yeah.
Speaking of walking out, we got to leave. We got to leave the studio because we're all out of time for today. But tune in next week for another sensational episode of TV Talkers, everybody. We will hopefully have Farron with us as well. So signing out for the TV Talkers this week, it is
Simon
and Tiago. Take care, everyone. We will see you soon.